Will you pray with me? Lord, we would ask to experience your presence in these next few minutes. We want to see something of your splendor and feel something of your love. We want to catch something of your vision and mission for us as a people, so that we would not leave here the same as when we came in. We ask it in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, this last week, Nike unveiled their new advertising campaign. And the slogan is, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." Now, the campaign has caused a lot of controversy because the face behind the slogan is Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback that first took a knee during the national anthem and began the NFL protest. So people that disagree with his political view are keeping the slogan, but they're changing the graphic behind it, and some are having fun doing it. For example, how about Wile E. Coyote? Believe in something, and every week he sacrifices everything but never quite survives the Roadrunner, right? Or this puppy. Believe in something, and I believe in meatballs, he says. Not everything is worth believing in. But others have taken the slogan and used it to make a more important point in honoring the sacrifices that our firemen and our policemen and our military have made. It says, believe in something even if it means really sacrificing everything. And the point they're making is sacrificing a high-paying career is not exactly the same as sacrificing your life, is it? But if we're talking about really full sacrifice, then the best image is Jesus Christ. Believe in something, even if it means really sacrificing everything, as Jesus did for us. Now, since Nike launched the campaign, there's been a backlash, there's been a boycott, but in spite of that, Nike's sales have gone up 30% and their stock just ended at an all-time high. Because Nike did their research and they knew that the young people in this country crave something to believe in. They know that people in America are hungry for a cause greater than themselves, something to live for and something to sacrifice for, something to die for. And so the slogan rings true and touches our hearts. Believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. But long before Nike said it, Jesus Christ said it. If you're following along inside your handout, inside your bulletin this morning, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily," and taking up your cross means dying to yourself each day, "and follow me. If you try to hang on your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Jesus said, believe in me, love me, follow me, be willing to sacrifice everything for me. Because the Lord who made us knows that he made us to live for a mission greater than ourselves. And the Lord also knows that most people intuitively understand that that mission must have something to do with human dignity, human freedom, and human justice. And gang, that mission for human dignity and freedom, justice, that is our cause. We have that cause. That is the cause of Jesus Christ, the only cause worth living for and sacrificing for, because the cause of Jesus Christ is the cause of human dignity and freedom and justice. Because the only source of human dignity is that we are made in God's image. And we are loved by a God who wants to adopt us as his children. And the source of justice is the Lord who calls his people to fight against evil, to fight against injustice in all its forms, and who promises one day justice will roll like a river. And the cause of human freedom, Jesus Christ came to set us free from sin and guilt and shame, to set us free from guilt and shame so we can live the abundant life. The cause of Jesus Christ is the cause of human freedom and justice and dignity. And serving the Lord's cause is the only cause worth believing so deeply that you are willing to sacrifice everything. But sadly, when the world looks at the church today, it doesn't see a people who are taking great risks and making great sacrifices for the great cause of Jesus Christ. It doesn't see people who are engaged sacrificially and radically in life-changing power and unleashing that power to try and bring dignity and freedom and justice to the people around them. When the world around us looks at the church, what they say they see is nice people and nice buildings running nice programs. People who like each other and are pushing their political agendas, but not people who believe so strongly in the cause of Jesus Christ that they are willing to sacrifice everything. Why don't they see that in us? Well, as one pastor said, the reason the Church of Jesus Christ currently has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Did you get that? The reason we have so little influence in the world is because the world has so much influence in the church. And when they look at us, they don't see anything any different. They don't see us radically and sacrificially engaged in something that incorporates spiritual power. They don't see God's power changing lives or hearts. They don't see worship so passionate that it changes lives. They don't see us working sacrificially for human dignity and justice and freedom. They say people that aren't that much different than they are. And you know, when people are asked why they don't go to church today, the number one reason they say is church is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. And by that, they don't mean that we aren't hip or cool or don't have the right style of worship. They mean that they don't see any different supernatural power in our life. They don't see anything different in our life to provide what they want in their life. So they say the church is irrelevant because it really doesn't show it can change my life. Francis Chan has said the church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. We are not all we were made to be when everything in our lives and churches can be explained apart from the work and the presence and the Spirit of God. The church becomes irrelevant when it is not a place of supernatural power leading people to take great risks and make great sacrifices to serve a great God and unleash supernatural power. You all have heard the slogan, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Right. So what's the main thing for the church? It's to know why we're here and what our mission is. The main thing for the church is to be able to answer three questions. What is our mission? What are the values we will live to pursue that mission? And what price are we willing to pay to bring God glory by fulfilling that mission? What is our mission? What are the values we will live? And what is the price that we are willing to pay? And here at Elgin Evangelical Free Church, we never want to stop celebrating everything that God has done through this church down through the years. But we never want to stop looking ahead to determine what God yet wants to accomplish through our church. Elgin Evangelical Free Church may be 140 years old, but gang, our work has just begun. So what is our mission? What are our core values we will live to pursue that mission? And we'll look at those core values for the next 5 weeks. And what price are we willing to pay to glorify God by fulfilling that mission? Well, let's look at our mission together. Would you read it out loud on the slide? Our mission is to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. Say it again out loud with me. To touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. What are we to accomplish? We're to touch and transform our communities. How do we do it? Only by the power of Jesus Christ. What's our role? To live lives of full devotion. Not half-hearted devotion, not part-time devotion, not sporadic devotion, not lukewarm devotion, but full devotion. Now, let's break that down. Now, the first element is to touch and transform our communities. That's our mission. And some of you are saying, Dick, come on, that's not our mission. Our mission is to glorify God. Well, yes, but that doesn't answer the question, how do we glorify God? And the answer is we glorify God by fulfilling the mission that He gave His church, which is go to people who do not know Him and help people to know Him, to honor Him, to love Him, and to worship Him. The best way that we honor the Lord is to help more people know and honor the Lord. The best way that we love the Lord is by helping more people know and love the Lord. The best way we worship the Lord is by helping more people know and worship the Lord. And the way that we have been called and tasked to give God great glory is to help more people know and love and honor and worship the Lord. And we can't bring Him any more glory and honor than that by fulfilling the mission. So let's say the mission again. Our mission is to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. Now you may be asking, Dick, why is the word communities plural there? Because we all live in many different communities. Every person exists in many different communities. I mean, there's the community where you live and where you work and where you go to school and shop. There's the communities where you engage in civic activities, the communities where you engage in recreational activities. And each one of those communities is a sphere of influence. And Jesus wants us to influence every one of those spheres, every one of those communities, for Him. To touch and transform all of our spheres and influence for Him. And that call to touch and transform our communities has been Jesus' command since day one. You know, one day Jesus healed a man who had been tormented by many demons. And Jesus cast out the demons. The man was so grateful, he was so delighted. He just wanted to follow Jesus all around. He wanted to get in the boat and travel with Jesus. And Jesus had to turn to him and say, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. So the man went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. Jesus didn't say, great, now that you're healed, go and find a church where you can hide from the wicked world. He said, now go back to the people that know you the best. Go back to your family. Go back to your hometown. Go back to your community. And tell them the good things I've done for you. And that is our calling. That is our mission. To simply and sincerely share with other people the good things God has done in our life and the good things He is doing in our life right now. So that they can see Jesus in our life and believe in Jesus because of our lives. Tell them by your words and show them by your actions how my power is transforming your life. Touch and transform your communities by showing by word and by life what I'm doing in you, what I'm doing in your church. Let's look at the next phrase after touch and transform. Flip over the sheet. The next phrase is by the power of Jesus Christ. We don't do the transforming. God does the transforming. It's His power. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. The same power that brought Jesus back to life is ours, meant so that we can live new lives, so that we will have a character and a conduct like Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, let God transform you into a new person. There, that's word transform. That's part of our vision, right? Let God transform you into a new person. God wants to transform you and I into new people that think and act like Jesus, that have a character and conduct like Jesus, so people can see Jesus in us and believe the Jesus that they see in us. True Christianity is nothing less than transformational Christianity. True Christianity is nothing less than transformational Christianity. And when we lose the transformational, when we lose the supernatural, then the world is right. We have become irrelevant. And here at Elgin E-Free, we don't want to settle for anything less than the life-changing power of Jesus settling in us and changing our lives so the world can see and can believe. Some of you are familiar with management guru Peter Drucker. He's passed now. He said the world is wrong when it calls the church a nonprofit institution. He says the church has the greatest profit of any organization in the world, and he suggested we call churches human change institutions. Human change institutions, because the purpose of the church, the mission of the church, is change lives. And that means when we as a church settle for anything less than changed lives, we settle for running programs and running routines and running activities and staying really busy for Jesus, if there are no changed lives, we're not fulfilling our mission. That means the measure of our success, if the business of the church is changed lives, then the measure of our success is how much the power of God's transforming love is seeping deeper into your soul and changing your life day by day and flowing through you to change the lives of the people around that. Can I repeat that? Because the business of the church has changed lives through the transforming supernatural power of Jesus Christ, the measure of our success of a church is not how much you like my sermons. It's not how much you like the praise music. It's not how much you like each other. The measure of our success as a church is how much each one of us is individually letting the power of God's transforming love seep more deeply into your soul. So day by day, slowly but surely, He is changing your life more into the image of Jesus Christ so that His power can flow through you and touch the lives of people around you. And if we are not letting God slowly, surely, but visibly change our lives in very real ways, if we're not experiencing that supernatural power, we are something less than the church, and we are becoming irrelevant. Our mission is to touch and transform our communities by nothing less than the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, through lives of full devotion. That's the only way we're going to change the world, is through lives of full devotion. In a world where people are afraid of commitment, we want to be a world of radical and godly commitment, because commitment becomes a God thing. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all of our everything." That's full devotion. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 5. Love the Lord your God, walk in all His ways, obey His commandments, hold firmly to Him, serve Him with all your heart and your soul. Love, walk, obey, and serve Him with everything that you have. That's full devotion, not half-hearted devotion, not lukewarm devotion, not sporadic devotion, not part-time devotion. Full devotion, complete commitment, total surrender, passionate worship, devout service, pedal to the metal spirituality, all for Jesus. All for Jesus. I surrender all to Jesus. I ever am and ever hope to be. Because with anything less than full devotion, life-changing full devotion, we will not fulfill our mission and Jesus Christ will not be glorified. We want to be a church known for radical commitment in an uncommitted world. A church where very common people live lives of uncommon purity and integrity and Christ-likeness. A church where everyday people make unthinkable sacrifices out of unquenchable joy. Where every day, people who believe in Jesus' cause will abandon anything else and everything else to pursue Christ and His mission in their life and in their communities. Full devotion. It was about 20 years ago now. I was listening to a pastor who just returned from mainland China where he had visited some home churches. And in those days, home churches were still outlawed in China. And because they were illegal, they had to stay under the radar. Whenever they grew to about 15 people, they had to split and start another church. And they had to meet in different places so that the authorities wouldn't find them. And because they knew the authorities were tapping some of their phones, they couldn't phone and say what the next location their meeting was going to be. So the churches would have a volunteer who would stand on a certain street corner at a certain time of day, at certain days. And as the other church members casually strolled by him, he would whisper where the next meeting location was. And the Chinese host told the pastor at the time that the volunteer was arrested. He was beaten and thrown in prison. He lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his job. He lost all of his medical support and all government support and was in prison indefinitely. He lost everything. Another volunteer stepped in and took his place, of course, at a different street corner. A few weeks later, he was arrested and lost everything. And the pastor said to the Chinese host, "Wow, it must be hard to get volunteers for that position." And the host said, "We have a waiting list." Believing in something worth sacrificing everything. And here at Elgin Evangelical Free Church, we want to settle for nothing less than full devotion that believes something until it is worth sacrificing everything. To believe that our mission is to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. So that's our mission. And by the way, on the way out, talk to the handsome men in the Hawaiian shirts, and they're going to give you a pen that has our mission on it. So everybody pick up a pen and use it so you can memorize and remember and commit to our mission to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. Now, we said we need a mission, but we also said we need core values. And for the next several weeks, we're going to look at those core values. Today, I just want to briefly look at the first core value and look at the price that we are willing to pay. Now, at the top of the list of core values, it says, through the power of prayer, God's Spirit, and God's Word. Why? Because we do nothing except through supernatural power. Through the power of prayer, the God's Spirit, and God's Word, and that's what makes us relevant rather than irrelevant. Okay? So everything we do is based in prayer, the power of God's Spirit, and God's Word. Our first core value is full devotion. We will actively pursue lives of full devotion to Christ, displayed by godly character, joyful obedience, responsible stewardship, and contagious faith. Now, our mission is to transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ. Now the question is, how do we do that? We can only do that by full devotion. Why is full devotion important? To unleashing the power of Jesus Christ? Well, I think there's four steps to it, okay? The first step is our full surrender, our full devotion is what enables the Spirit of God to work in us to begin to change our lives slowly but surely, imperfectly but visibly, to become more like Jesus. Then second, as we increasingly are letting Jesus change our lives, we will increasingly live like Jesus, live for Jesus, and love others for Jesus. That's how we'll get changed. Live like Jesus, live for Jesus, and love others for Jesus. Then the third point is, the people we're loving for Jesus will see the way the Lord is changing our lives in visible ways. And they will see our radical sacrificial devotion, and that will capture their interest. They may be willing to talk about it. But when they see the power of Jesus changing our lives in ways they wish they could change their lives, that's when they become hungry for it. That's when they start asking you questions, and you can have in-depth spiritual conversations. So you see, full devotion is the key to letting the Spirit change our lives in visible ways that get other people's attention, so the Spirit can flow through us and touch their lives as well. It is only when we are fully and committed, surrendered and committed to the Lord, that He can empower us and He can use us. So what does full devotion look like? How can you measure how well you're doing on that and how much you and I are improving on it? Well, our first core value identifies four marks of full devotion. Godly character is becoming like Jesus intentionally. Joyful obedience is doing what God says gladly. Responsible stewardship is using what God gives generously. And contagious faith is sharing what God's done irresistibly. Now let's just glance and explore each of those fairly quickly, okay? First, full devotion shows itself in godly character, and that's becoming like Jesus intentionally. 1 John 2:6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Interesting concept. If we say we know God, we should live as Jesus did. And doesn't that just make sense? Because our life is the only Bible that many people will ever read. They need to see Jesus in us if they're going to believe in Jesus. God's plan is that when the world looks at us, it sees a family resemblance to our Heavenly Father because we think and act like Jesus. Oh, you're a Christ follower. You think and act like Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For God has called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Let's stop right there. God has called you to do good, even if it means suffering. God has called you to believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Sound familiar? Why? Just as Christ suffered for you, He is your example, and you must follow in His steps. Jesus is our example. We follow in His steps. We are to live like Jesus. Jesus said His followers would do the same good works He does. The Bible calls us to have the same mind and the same attitude as Jesus. In other words, think like Jesus and act like Jesus so the world can see Jesus in us. You say, Dick, that's too hard. I can't do that. Yes, you can. 1 Peter chapter 1. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Did you hear that? God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. In view of this, make every effort to respond. Make every effort. That's intentionality. And why do we make every effort? Because He's given us everything we need. He's given us a Spirit, placed His Spirit in us, both to motivate us to do what's right, to be like Jesus, to guide us as to how to be like Jesus, and to empower us to becoming more like Jesus Christ. We have everything we need. The story is told of when Charlton Heston was filming the great movie Ben-Hur. They just made it, but the remake really didn't live up to the original. Go back and watch the original. And during a practice, Charlton Heston went to Cecil DeMille and said, "Cecil, I can't win this chariot race," and the climactic chariot race. He says, "I can't win the chariot race. I can barely stay in the chariot." And Cecil DeMille said, "You don't have to win the race. You just hang onto the chariot, and I'll make sure you win the race." You get the point? Jesus says, just hang on to me. Just be fully devoted to me, and my Spirit in you will do the work that needs to be done to conform you to my image. But it all begins with full devotion that pursues godly character. So we are becoming like Jesus intentionally. The next mark of full devotion is joyful obedience. If you're a parent, you know there's two kinds of obedience, right? There's reluctant obedience and there's joyful obedience. Joyful obedience is doing what God says gladly. You know, people think that being a Christian is a drag. You got so many rules, dude. And those rules are so hard to obey. Well, maybe it doesn't sound exactly like that. And the truth is, there's not many rules at all. And they're not that hard. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments aren't that burdensome. Why do we keep His commandments? It says because we love Him. Because when you love somebody, you're delighted to do whatever pleases them. Right? And because we love God, we are delighted to what's pleasing Him. So we obey His commandments, we obey His rules, and when we obey His rules, we find that brings us joy. And the more we find obeying His rules brings us joy, the more we obey His rules joyfully. Psalm 119, verse 1. Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. If you follow the instructions of the Lord, it makes you joyful. Psalm 19, 8. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. See, the God who made us knows how we should live if we want to have joy. So He gives us the rules and says, if you want to have joy, this is how to live. Live this way and you will live joyfully. Don't live by these rules and you will live miserably. And how many found that true to your life? When you disobey the rules, you just create your own misery. But the cool thing is, the God who is the rule giver is also the joy giver. And the reason for the rules is to stay close to the Lord so He can give us His joy. Psalm 43, verse 4, I will go to the altar of God, my God, the source of all my joy. The deepest, most enduring source of joy is the joy that comes from the Lord. Because when God created us, He said, what can I give my children that will bring them the greatest joy? And His answer was, I know, I will give them myself. My grace and my love, my rescuing power, my caring help is what will give them joy. And that is the only kind of joy that will satisfy our yearning hearts. You know, sometimes Christians live as if life is something to be endured. Endured. You know, Jesus came to make us just a little less miserable. And boy, if you think I'm depressed now, you should have seen me before I was a Christian. Right? And God loves you and has a wonderful plan to make your life just a little bit less miserable, right? But listen to Jesus, John chapter 15. I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Joyful obedience. We obey the Lord. We do what He says because we love Him. And when we do what He says, we find it brings us joy. So we start doing what He says joyfully, and that stays us closer to the Lord so He can fill us with His joy. Joyful obedience is one of the greatest marks of a true Christian to the outside world that is looking for a source of joy. The third mark of full devotion is responsible stewardship, and that's using what God gives generously. Using what God gives generously. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "What do you have that God hasn't given you?" You say, Dick, everything I have, I earned. The Bible says everything you have comes from God and belongs to God. You say, no, I earned it. Really? Who gave you the health to earn it? Who gave you the inherited abilities? Who gave you the education? Who gave you the opportunities or the lucky breaks? When you stop and evaluate it, everything we have comes from God and belongs to God. So why did He give it to us? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given gifts to each of you. Manage them well so that the Lord's God's generosity can flow through you. Everything you have came from God for a reason, and that reason is so that His generosity can flow through you. Now, God has given all of us four things: time, talent, treasures, and the ability to touch other people's lives. And He gave us those things so they'd flow through us generously, so that we would use our time, talents, treasure, and touch to share the story of His glory. We'd use our time, talents, treasure, and touch in acts of compassion. We would use our time, talents, treasure, and touch to reach out to a lost and needy world. We would use our time, talents, treasure, and touch to build His kingdom and pursue His mission. When God says, "I gave it to you to manage well," that manage it well is not a suggestion, it's a command. And one day the Lord will hold us accountable. One day the Lord will ask you, "What did you do with what I gave you to glorify me by fulfilling my mission?" And if you truly believe that, that will change the way you live. You will live with responsible stewardship. Bob McEwen tells of a time he took his son out at McDonald's for a burger, fries, and a drink. And I think it was after a soccer game. You know, so he bought them burger, fries, and drink, but he didn't buy fries for himself because his wife had been after him to lose weight. And he sat down, and he and his son are casually chatting, and absentmindedly he reaches over to grab a couple of fries, and the son goes, "No! Those are my fries." Ever been there? Had that experience? Bob says there's three things my son didn't realize. Number one, they weren't his fries. I bought them. I paid for them. They were mine. Second, I'm bigger than he is, and I can take those fries anytime I want. And third, I don't want the fries. I want him to be willing to share the fries with me. And gang, everything you have comes from God and belongs to God. It does not belong to you. And He can take back what He's given you anytime He wants, but He doesn't want your stuff. He wants you to be willing to manage it well and use it and invest it to serve Him and serve His kingdom. Responsible stewardship. The final mark of full devotion is contagious faith, and that's sharing what God's done irresistibly. Sharing what God's done irresistibly. Acts 5:41, day after day in temple courts from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. And that's the kind of contagious faith that we want here at Elgin Evangelical Free Church, where God says, "My people there in Elgin, they just never stop sharing and showing the good news. They just never stop letting the unstoppable influence of my unlimited grace and love irresistibly flow through them to the lives around them. They never stop with acts of compassion and spiritual conversations. They never stop reaching out to the needy. They never stop trying to transform, touch and transform their communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. Gang, there's no way, greater way to honor the Lord than to fulfill His mission of going to those who do not know Jesus and helping them to know, honor, love, and worship Jesus. And that is our mission. So let's repeat it. Let's say it together out loud again. Our mission is to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. And what is full devotion? Let's repeat our first core value. Full devotion. We will actively pursue lives of full devotion to Christ displayed by godly character, joyful obedience, responsible stewardship, and contagious faith. And isn't that the life you've always wanted? Last week, we remembered and memorialized the tragedy of the terrorist attack on America, 9/11. And when those airliners hit the World Trade Center in New York City, they turned it into a flaming inferno, 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And while thousands of people were trying to rush from the carnage and the danger and the chaos and the death, hundreds of firefighters were walking into the carnage and the chaos and the death. This is a picture of Assistant Chief Gerald Barbara looking up at the World Trade Towers. A few moments later, he walked into the building, never to come out again. Because on that day, big men in bulky rubber coats and black boots and peaked caps, geared up with 50 to 100 pounds of equipment, lowered their heads and walked into the doomed building. They trudged up staircase after staircase, up into the heat and into the horror. They went into the building to bring other people out. They went up to bring other people down. And instead of running away from the chaos and the danger, they stepped into the chaos and the danger. And because they went into that building, it is estimated that 20,000 lives were saved as firefighters led them out, guided them out, dragged them out, carried them out, comforted them, and administered medical attention to them. Where did the firefighters come up with that kind of courage? It was the courage of believing something deeply enough to sacrifice everything. It was the courage that comes that believing that saving someone else's life is more important than protecting your life. It's the courage that comes from believing that bravery in a cause greater than yourself is greater than success or prosperity. It is the courage that comes in believing in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Then suddenly, the buildings were gone. And the firefighters were gone with them. And when the funerals started, it felt like they would never end. 300 of New York's finest lost their lives that day. Entire fire stations were decimated. And sometimes it was fathers and sons and brothers and uncles all in the same family who made the ultimate sacrifice, who really sacrificed something. And today, 17 years later, first responders are still suffering and dying too early because of the damage done to their bodies that day. Because they believed in something and were willing to sacrifice everything. 2,000 years before 9/11, the Church of Jesus Christ geared up and ran into the chaos and danger of the world around them. They began their mission of going into the homes of the hurting and the needy and the helpless and the lost and the lonely, of going into the cities that were decimated by plague so that they could care for the sick and comfort the dying, going into the places where there was the widows and the orphans and the lepers, going into the arena of spiritual warfare, going into the arena of political persecution and opposition, where like the people in China, they laid it all on the line and lost everything. Why did they do that? Because they believed the cause of Jesus Christ was worth sacrificing everything. Because they believed that rescuing the lives of other people was more important than saving their own life. Because they believed bravery in the cause of Christ was more important than success or fame or significance. Because they believed in Christ and His supernatural power and the story of His glory and salvation was worth sacrificing everything. Their calling is our calling. Their mission is our mission. Their power is our power. Elgin Evangelical Free Church may be 140 years old, but our work is just beginning. Will you join us in the mission? Your life is too valuable. Your calling too great. Your God is too good to waste your life in things that will not last and do not matter. Will you join us? And shoulder to shoulder, step out into our communities, into the places of danger and chaos, and together, with the help of God and for God's glory, we can touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. For the glory of God, let's be that church. Commit to let His transforming love seep deeper and deeper into your soul so it changes your life and flows through your life and touches the lives of people around you. Let's close in prayer. Father, forgive us for the times when we have not believed enough to risk it all, to sacrifice it all. Forgive us for the times when we have failed to let Your Spirit sink deeply into our souls, so deeply it changes us and flows through us. We want to be a church that honors You by helping more people to know You and honor You and worship You and serve You. So we pray this morning, open up the heavens. We want to see You. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart through our church as we pursue our mission for You, Lord. We ask it in Your name. Amen.